Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen and friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com, drafted into duty to broadcast live from the left coast here as the sun sets in Los Angeles. Glad you could join us 6 minutes after the hour. We're going to try momentarily to change up the topic a little bit. I'll change it right now, although not necessarily for the better. The twin terror attacks in Norway, says CNN and AP, now has the death toll from that youth camp where the guy dressed up as a cop, apparently, and started shooting. The death toll, AP now has it up at 80 dead at this youth camp. Not good. And meantime, we're back in this country making up creating crises that are just complete and utter nonsense. And at this point, vote them out. Vote them out. If this is how they're going to behave, vote them out. But good luck doing so with the voting system that we have. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I got one last caller on the line here who wanted to talk about this debt ceiling nonsense. And then in the next hour, we'll take your calls the entire time on anything you want to talk about, including this or anything else. Mark in San Francisco, you had a thought about this GOP fiscal terrorism.
Brad, I think that what is going on now fits right into Naomi Klein's shock doctrine, the shock doctrine for a developed nation. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, too, I don't believe Grover Norquist really wants or expects these Republicans to come around and sign anything right now, because Grover Norquist has always been for wanting to see a state go bankrupt. And that's so it will lead into so that like the Chicago Boys economics thing.
Has he called for a state to go bankrupt? I mean, we know that he said he wants government to be small enough that we could drown it in the bathtub. But I don't know. Yeah.
He's actually said that he would like to see a state go bankrupt. He didn't name any state. Yeah. He has actually said that. Yeah. And this really does fit in for how to get the free marketeers and the Chicago economics people that went into Chile and so forth. This is how to do it in a developed nation. To get their economy to fail through either inflation or monetary collapse.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they go for the whole ball of wax.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we do that abroad, and your suggestion is that the GOP is now doing it here. And Ernest Canning, our legal analyst at Bradblog.com, has written about that quite a bit at Bradblog, basically saying they are applying those same principles to our country. And maybe you're right there. I'll tell you what, I think Grover Norquist is looking at this, and he's seeing a lot of fingers pointing at him right now, and I think he knows it's going to be his ass on the line if these guys let the default happen. And that's why I think he's getting a little scared at this point. He's saying, oh, no, it's cool. Go ahead, raise that debt ceiling. I think that's the best thing to do, raise the debt ceiling. I actually, on this one, I'm going to take him at his word, because I think he knows his ass is going to be in a sling if they move forward with this and they say, hey, I signed Grover's pledge. I have no choice. I cannot vote to increase tax revenues in any way, shape, or form. And I think, you might be right, and I might be right. We'll see.
I think it's just cover.
Well, you might be right. But in the meantime, Mark, you've also got the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, of all people, saying that defaulting on our debt is not an option. The result from political action, inaction, could be devastating. You've got more than 450 corporate CEOs saying now is the time for our political leaders to put aside partisan differences and act in the nation's best interest. You know, you've got the Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, Republican, far-right Republican, you know, goes out to these Koch meetings every year. I think he's been there every year for the past 8 years, these Koch brothers meetings, saying that default would be devastating for our country. And, of course, Ronald Reagan, that lefty pinko commie, said some years ago that if the debt ceiling is not raised, it would interest would skyrocket, the financial markets would have instability, federal deficit would soar. So I don't know. We'll see who's right on this one. But I'm going to keep my promise and move on to another topic here for at least a bit, Mark. I appreciate your call, brother.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, so I'm going to do my best, at least for a few minutes, change the topic, and we're going to be talking with Bob Petraeus about some of this at the bottom of the hour, so do stay with us, because we do have some new news out of Ohio in this long-running Mike Connell case, the IT GOP guru who set up the election system in 2004 in Ohio, who died suddenly and tragically in a plane crash. After it is said he was being threatened by Karl Rove, blah, blah, blah. We will get to all of that in a moment. But related to this, and I say vote him out. Vote him out. Yeah, vote out these jerks, these creeps who would do this kind of this terrorist behavior that these Republicans are doing right now. Vote him out. Well, good luck doing that. Because folks who know me, who know my work at bradblog.com, know what I cover a lot of. It is our electoral system. They are gaming the electoral system, as you know now, I hope, through these photo ID restrictions at the polling place, trying to keep Democratic-leaning voters from being able to vote. But even if they can vote, even if they are able to vote, what I have been warning about, and so few people really still are and have, is the problem with our electoral system, that we can't see it, that it's not transparent. And so, you know, you could do whatever you want. And I hear Democrats, liberals, progressives saying, oh, yeah, this would be great if Michelle Bachmann ran for president because she'd be so easy to beat. Really? Are you sure? Just a couple of weeks ago, in Florida, this comes out of, a hacker by the name of Abhaxas, at least that's how we know him or her, over on the Twitters, was able to hack into the Florida voting database. And he released, I'm going to call him a he, I don't know if it's a he, but I'll say it's a he. He released a whole bunch of code from that he says, and it sure looks like it, is from the Florida e-voting database. It includes ballot definitions, includes poll worker usernames and passwords. And when he released it, he said, quote, so this is a little ironic. Here is inside details of Florida voting systems. Now, who still believes voting isn't rigged? He said. If the United States government can't even keep their ballot systems secure, why trust them at all? Fail, he said. Or she said, whoever Abhaxas was, when he or she released this code. Abhaxas, I believe, is involved in the hacktivist group Anonymous or Lulz, SEC, or one of those groups. I don't know for sure. I had invited him on the air to talk about this, and he looked like he might, maybe. He said, I'm thinking about it. But that was after I had asked him a few questions over the Twitters, and you can reach me at the Twitters at the Brad Blog. Oh, and by the way, the bradblog.com chat room is up and rolling. Stop on by. So on the Twitters, I had asked him where he got the idea, this Abhaxas, to hack into the Florida voting database. And I asked him how long it took. And he said back in short, I got the idea from it taking roughly 10 minutes to have read-write access to their systems. If I did it, he said, who else has? He was able to do that in 10 minutes, he claims. Now, when this came out about 2 or 3 weeks ago now, I think, this code, some people said, well, what's really in that code? Let's see, the names Joe Lieberman, John Kerry, Wesley Clark, Carol Moseley Braun, John Edwards. So apparently this is old data from, what would this be, 2004. What was so important in that data? Someone else had asked him on Twitter, and he responded by saying, the information isn't important. It's the fact that access was gained to the system so easily equals a flawed system. Oh, do you think? He then went on to say it's not just Florida. You could pick any state at random and get the same results, and he is absolutely right. He said he does not have a political agenda. He just enjoys exposing insecure networks. Now, I asked Abhaxas to join me in to talk about this and how easy it was and how he did it and why he did it and all of that. And as I said, he was thinking about it. And then he apparently decided not because he stopped talking to me over Twitter. I don't know what I did wrong, but that's what happened. I spoke about this a little bit earlier on the KPFK. I do a show on Pacifica Radio Networks on Wednesday, and I talked a little bit about this and noted that he had gone, that Abhaxas had gone silent, and I was concerned that maybe he had been one of those who were arrested in this FBI chain of arrests. They had arrested a couple of dozen folks involved with Anonymous and LulzSec and all of that. But no, just to give you an update there, Abhaxas is back on Twitter, so if he was arrested, he's out on bail, or he was not arrested at all. But in any case, I'm going to have more news on this from a CIA person who has been warning about exactly this, about exactly what Abhaxas showed us that we could do, and then how this all applies to Ohio. Brad in for Malloy. Welcome back. It's 22 minutes after the hour. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike, who is in Seattle this weekend for the Progressive Voices Conference with our affiliate AM 1090 out there. So if you're in Seattle, go see him. And Randy Rhodes. And I don't know if Stephanie's there. Some other, maybe, Mike Papento. I don't know. A whole bunch of folks, good folks out there. Go out and please do tell them that I said hello. Okay. Well, back in 2009, the Brad blog reported on this warning given by CIA cybersecurity expert, let me say that again, CIA cybersecurity expert Stephen Stigall. He gave a talk, a rather stunning presentation, I should add, to the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, the EAC, theoretically responsible for overseeing our electronic voting system in this nation. They're not. They're wholly corrupt and everything else, but that's what the role of the U.S. EAC did, and Stephen Stigall gave this remarkable presentation at this field hearing in Orlando, of all places, back in March of 2009. Now, we covered it at bradblog.com, and Greg Gordon at McClatchy covered it at the time, but that was about it. That was about it. Now, I talked before we went to the break about this guy, this hacker, Abhaxas, who was able to, in 10 minutes, he says, get into the e-voting system in Florida. And actually, I think it was in Orlando, ironically enough. You've seen news, the hacking scandal from News of the World. Journalists are able to hack cell phone systems. You saw that Anonymous or LulzSec or one of these guys were then able to hack News of the World or hack The Sun to show that Rupert Murdoch, to claim that Rupert Murdoch had died. They were able to take down the website of News International. Hackers have been able to make short order of PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, the Pentagon, the CIA. And yet we continue to use electronic voting systems that are just as vulnerable, if not way more vulnerable than any of those systems, than the MasterCard site, for crying out loud, than PayPal. So Stephen Stigall gave this talk, what are we here now, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, in 2009, so a little over 2 years ago, that nobody paid attention to. He said, among the things that he said, I'm not a politician, a political analyst. I looked at this as a computer network. He was looking at elections abroad, e-voting systems abroad, because they can't look at systems here. He said, so I looked at it as a computer network, as a computer security issue. You've heard the old adage, follow the money. Here I follow the vote, and wherever the vote becomes an electron and touches a computer, That is an opportunity for a malicious actor potentially to get into the system and tamper with the vote count or make bad things happen. He said an electronic voting machine is a computer. That's the way we look at it. It has memory. It has so-called firmware. It has software built into the hardware of the machine to tell it what to do. And most interestingly, not only can it be networked, but it can be interrogated from outside. It's a computer. That's what it is. And because it's a computer, it carries with it all the vulnerabilities that a computer has. When I look at a foreign country, I suspect that the regime may be playing games with the computer component of the election system. One of the first questions I ask, where are those machines stored? Or where are they stored, period, long before election day and afterwards? And I want to know if those machines can be interrogated electronically, remotely, on election day. Is there a wire or a connection connecting those machines to, quite frankly, the public internet? And he went on, and he talked about the vulnerability of these systems, that he has seen them actually hacked in foreign countries. And he talked about this man-in-the-middle attack, the way that hackers can get in between the data, the votes as they are cast, and before they are reported. And that has been the concern for some time in the state of Ohio concerning what may have happened in the 2004 election, when in the middle of the night in Ohio in 2004, when it was the only state that the entire nation was waiting on to find out who would be the president of the United States in 2004, all of a sudden the computers moved, the reporting system moved for the results from Ohio to some right-wing website down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Why did that happen? Well, folks have been looking into that for the last 8 years at this point, and we've got some new news on that. We're going to talk about it after this break with Bob Fitrakis, the investigative journalist from Ohio. You are listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. In for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Scaring the nation with guns and regulations. No, you won't. You can try, but it won't work. I will be fighting for it, Republican, Democratic, Green, Libertarian, Independent alike. If you're going to take the time to vote, then I think you ought to have it counted. You ought to have it counted accurately. And we ought to be able to know that it was counted accurately. Joining me momentarily will be Bob Fitrakis from Free Press. .org, a great investigative journalist and attorney with some news on the 2004 Ohio election, Mike Connell, Karl Rove case. But just to wrap up and sort of tie things together, by the way, that was Victoria Parks, who's a great patriot from Ohio herself, who wrote, My Vote Don't Matter Anymore, based on a story that she was told in 2004 by someone at the polls. You can check her out at Victoria Parks. .com. I always play that song a lot, and so I ought to give her credit every now and again. So there we go. Go check her out. I was talking about that CIA guy who gave a presentation, CIA cybersecurity expert, who gave a presentation to the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission back in 2009, warning that e-voting is not secure. And one of the things that he said reminded me of what has been alleged to have happened in Ohio. Not precisely, but pretty damn close. Here's what he said when he was talking about the ruling party in Ukraine in the 2004 election that you recall. It was about a month after our election here in this country. And, of course, Colin Powell and George Bush came out at the time and said, well, there was fraud in that election. They need to run it over. Well, how did you know there was fraud, Mr. President? Because the exit polls said one thing and the results said another. Where does that sound familiar? My head almost fell off at the time. Because it's fraud when it happens in other countries. Apparently it's not fraud when it happens here. Everything's just fine. In any case, so this CIA guy, Stephen Stigall, was looking at that the case in Ukraine, and he said that the ruling party was monitoring the vote count coming in from different parts of the country, and they were making subtle adjustments to the vote. In other words, he said, intersecting the votes before it goes to the official computer for tabulation. That's a CIA cybersecurity expert warning our U.S. Elections Assistance Commission about the problems with e-voting. the problems that we don't pay attention to. Now, back in Ohio, this is damn near what was alleged to have happened in this case, this election fraud case that continues to move forward from 2004, that bad guys were able to pull a man-in-the-middle hack, essentially get in between not necessarily the tabulation before it was reported to the public, but the actual results. The tabulators would have the results, and then before it would get to the state reporting system, the state website, it would be interrupted by a man-in-the-middle attack, and it would be changed and hacked at that point. Well, there has been a long-running 2004 election fraud case concerning exactly that. And to talk about some new developments in that case, I'm joined by Bob Petrakis, our old friend. He's an Ohio's award-winning investigative journalist and editor of the Columbus Free Press. That's freepress.org. He's a political science professor in the Social and Behavioral Sciences Department at Columbus State Community College, where he won the Distinguished Teacher Award in 91. Oh, he's got all kinds of Ph.D. in political science from Wayne State. I could go on and on. He's also the author of the co-author of What Happened in Ohio, a documentary record of theft and fraud in the 2004 election. He's co-authored 10 other books, including How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election, and is rigging 2008, the companion summary book to the 767-page volume, Did George W. Bush Steal America's 2004 Election? So this man knows of what he speaks. He also happens to be an attorney, and he is an attorney in this King Lincoln Bronzeville versus Ohio Secretary of State case that continues to this day and has a bit of breaking news. Hey, Bob, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Glad to be back, Brad.
Good to have you here. Now, let's see. I was going to try. This is not easy because this is a huge story. But what I was going to try in about a minute's time was to bring us up to date with this entire mess, this entire Mike Connell story, and then get us up to where we are today. So I'm going to try that with your permission.
Sure.
Okay, so the 2004, we got a 2004 election mess, questions about the results, serious questions about what happened in the middle of the night when all of a sudden the Ohio Secretary of State's website goes down that was reporting the election results. We later on find that it had moved in the middle of the night, the website, to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to some very far right-wing outfit by the name of Smart Tech. And, Bob, I'll let Bob give you some information on who Smart Tech was. But then the ensuing months, we've got a recount that was rigged. We've got a couple of people in Cuyahoga County. That's Cleveland, the largest county, I think, in of Ohio's 88 counties, received the maximum sentence for having rigged the recount to the 2004 election. A recount, I should add, that was asked for by the Green and Libertarian parties, not by John Kerry back in 2004. The Democrat. Now, so they rigged that election. In any case, word slips out as the years go on that the guy who helped develop, not help, did develop the election night reporting system for the state of Ohio, a guy by the name of Mike Connell, he's a right winger. Maybe he's getting a guilty conscience a little bit. Maybe he wants to talk about what might have really gone on in 2004. That, according to a Republican IT guy, a whistleblower who worked with Connell, a fellow by the name of Stephen Spoonamore. And so Bob Petrakis and his partner Cliff Arnebeck actually go in this long-standing suit and say, we would like to depose Mike Connell. He fights that a little bit. They get the okay to do that in 2008, the day before the 2008 presidential election, because they make the case that they're concerned this could happen again in 2008. So they get that deposition under the agreement that it will be sealed so as purportedly not to disclose trade secrets. And that deposition happens. Nobody has seen that in the public until now. And a month or two later, just before Christmas, suddenly Mike Connell, who had been threatened, rumor has it, any case, reports, tipsters have said he had been threatened by Karl Rove that if he talks, he's going to be in big trouble. Mike Connell flying home from D.C. back to Ohio one night for a Christmas party in a single-engine Piper Saratoga. His plane goes down 2 miles short of the runway near Columbus. Was it Columbus, Bob, where Mike Connell went down?
No, it was up in the Akron area
Akron,
where the headquarters
that's right.
are.
And he died, and a very strange investigation takes place. The plane is removed in the middle of the night. His wife, his sister are now very concerned about what really happened. The wife says, you know, she was able to find pieces of his brain around the accident site, you know, a day or two later. Very bizarre. In any case, I think that just about brings us up to date sort of where we are. Did I miss anything or get anything wrong there, Bob Fitrakis?
No, that was a great summary.
Sure. Okay, I'm exhausted. You take it from here. Okay, so now you've had this lawsuit. You got that deposition, but the case sort of peters out a bit because one of your main witnesses is now dead. And now here we are about 2 years later, and there has been a new filing in the case. And because I'm so exhausted bringing us up to date, Bob, please tell us what we now have in this new court filing in this 2004 election fraud case.
Well, the filing, which occurred on Friday, contains a variety of things, and we've gone public with that filing since it's public record. A couple of them are actually the architectural map, which has been on the internet in the past, but we were able to confirm it. Talked to an IT guy at the Secretary of State's office, and also part of the Smart Tech contractual map. So that's there, and of course, the Connell deposition, which is interesting, particularly for some of the questions asked at that, and also this whole contractual relationship. I mean, how does one of the most partisan men in America, good friend of Barry Jackson, you know, the lieutenant hitman for Karl Rove, how does he end up creating this architectural map for the 2004 election in Ohio, and why does it have a huge back door?
And before you get, let me just help explain that to non-tech folks. And by the way, is this a cell line or a landline, Bob, because you're breaking up a little bit?
It's a landline.
Okay.
But
it's not a good one. All right. So the architectural map, we're talking about the structure. This is basically how the computer servers, the website servers, how they would get results from the 88 counties and post them on the website of the Secretary of State on election night in 2004, and where they would be rooted and who had access to all of these computers, correct?
Correct, and I think we talked a little before the show. There's an exchange that people might want to look at in the transcript the day before the election, November 3rd, 2008, in which I asked Connell, you know, this is real time. I mean, essentially, it's not just a reporting system.
Mm-hmm.
And this was confirmed. Cliff Arnebeck had a email exchange there with Steve Spoonamore, a patriot and a Republican, by the way, who says, look, this
who
is,
used to work for John McCain, we should add. Okay.
Yeah, and he said, look, they had access. I mean, they had the ability to input data. Why would a reporting system run by Republican partisans, evidence that it was owned by Mercer Reynolds, you know, the finance guy for Bush Cheney in 2004, with Jeffrey Averbeck, a, you know, born-again right-wing Christian ideologue who had direct ties to Amway and that whole operation.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing with input capacity on election night, getting the votes outsourced from Ohio to Chattanooga, Tennessee? Also, at the same point, they have a direct tie-in to the White House with GWB 43, a website.
So this is the same company, Smart Tech, who had, when those computers in Ohio went down and the entire system moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee in the middle of the night on election night, it went to Smart Tech, the same company that handled all of those millions of emails that supposedly disappeared on the the GWB43.com system. That was all handled out of the same place. These far-right partisans who had access to all of this, correct? I'm describing that correctly.
Absolutely correct. The one thing they all have in common, whether it's Michael Connell at GovTech, and his big company is New Media, right? He's a Bush family IT guru, what they call the expert of interface, mm-hmm. making different computer hardware and software systems talk to each other in ways that can't be detected. He goes back to college guy in Iowa, a small group of people hanging around fraternity, to working for George Herbert Walker Bush, the former CIA director, when he's elected in 1988, to Jeff Averbeck, another operative, and then on the ground in Ohio, they have the Rapp family triad, which was tied to the infamous butterfly ballot in Florida.
Oh, really?
So, they had it on their website for years. What they do, GovTech, for example, they put on this hat and go, oh, New Media, those are partisan rabid zealots for the Republican. But GovTech is a totally objective company, that just does work for the government. But they're all the same people.
And that was Mike Connell's company, GovTech. And he contracts with SmartTech, which is down there in Tennessee, and which ran the GWB. And they're all working together. And not only are they far-right partisans running the George Bush website, the John McCain website, and everything else, but they're running the Ohio election night reporting system with the Secretary of State, who has access to that reporting system. And as it came out in the transcripts, I'm sorry, the deposition here that has now been released with Mike Connell, the Secretary of State had access, could have changed the numbers, as could have SmartTech down in Tennessee. Everybody had access to this system, it seems.
Yeah, and then what you have is a absolutely unexplained. You've already referenced the Ukraine. The international gold standard is the exit polls, which these partisans, particularly Karl Rove, have now tried to discredit. They're still the international gold standard. I speak here as an election observer who co-wrote and edited the International Election Observer's report on El Salvador back in the 90s. I know what I speak, and the key thing we look at is the exit polls. So the exit polls are showing Kerry winning by 3%. Suddenly, in the wee hours of the morning, after it shipped down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to a partisan group of Republican operatives, and I do mean Republican operatives. For example, SmartTech was the people that hosted the GOP convention, provided the internet services in 2008. In the wee hours of the morning, this partisan group, the vote seemed to flip. And then back here in Ohio, and they have access to the county tabulators, suddenly Bush is getting 130% of the vote in Clyde, Ohio. Two counties in Perry County, he's suddenly getting 122% of the vote, 118% of the vote. He's getting 98.66% of the vote in Concord Southwest in Miami County, which we went up and audited, and we found a 5,000 vote shift of phantom votes, where there were actually more votes counted than people who signed into the polls.
Hey, hold the thought there. Bob Petrakis from Columbus Free Press, freepress.org, about this ongoing Ohio election fraud case from 2004. I'm going to ask him also after this break about Karl Rove, who he subpoenaed. Much more straight ahead. Brad in for Mike. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Speaking with Bob Petrakis of freepress.org, investigative journalist and professor and attorney, about this ongoing, 2004 election fraud case. We've got just a couple of minutes here before the top of the hour, Bob, so let me fire off some quick questions here. You subpoenaed Karl Rove, or tried to, in back late at the end of last year, I think, in New York, just after he had appeared on CBS's Face the Nation on a Sunday morning, subpoenaing him for this case. What is the status of that subpoena against Karl Rove?
Well, that's being argued out. Cliff Arnebeck, who's to be given great credit as the lead litigator, decided since Karl Rove was operating here and looked hand in glove with the Chamber of Commerce under one of these umbrella groups that we ought to ask him what was going on. And all of it is predicated that, like, this is the state-of-the-art election theft equipment. Every IT guy in America knows you can hack the vote through these systems. And it's ongoing. That apparatus, to some extent, that was put in place can be put back in place, although we should give Jennifer Bruner credit for warning us in the Everest study.
Everest, she's the former Ohio Secretary of State that took over for J. Kenneth Blackwell. She was the Democrat. Bob, I leave it to you here because I am coming up against a hard break, but I do want to get the actual status of the Rove subpoena, and there is a caller who'd like to talk to you. Can you stick through for just a few more minutes through the top of the hour, through the news break here? All right, you can go ahead and take about 6 minutes, get a drink of water, whatever. And then we'll just keep Bob for one more quick segment and Mike's call. And if you want to call in on this or anything else, 877-520-1150. As the fight continues, as we head to yet another presidential election year, and we're still using the same crappy, unoverseeable, untransparent voting systems. It is remarkable. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. More, a little bit more with Bob Petraeus of freepress.org right after this. Stay with us.